Thanks for doing this, Hal. How are you? Family, loved ones, everybody okay, safe and healthy?
Everyone's doing well here. A little stir crazy, but in Tennessee, we're starting to loosen things up. So we'll see how it goes. So far, so good, though.
Same here. I was able to get a haircut last weekend. I got to tell you, I feel like a new human.
It's game changer. You don't realize it until it's gone.
It's true. I just looked like a mountain man for a while there. Just let the beard grow and the hair get out there, and it was getting too much. So finally back on track. Feel like I can be productive again. But we've been doing a series with Stanley Cup champions, and wanted to bring you on. Looking back on your run with the Pittsburgh Penguins, you were on both teams in 08, falling just short of Detroit, and then winning it in 09. But let's start when you joined the Penguins. You know, you're having a great career, and then you get traded at the deadline to Pittsburgh. You get to join Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. I mean, what's going through your head when you make that move?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. Anytime you get traded, I feel like you don't want to leave your team. You feel like you let them down. And you don't want to be moved, but going there, it was kind of, you know, I got on the ice and I'm looking around and looking at Crosby and Malkin and the talent that they had, and the opportunity to win was right there. And it was kind of like a whoa, slap to the face. So, you know, my first 2 weeks, I don't know what our record was, but we did a lot of winning and it was a lot of fun. And it kind of kept going for my time there. We just found ways to win, and when it counted, we had Sid the Kid finding ways, and that made it a pretty special run for me and for a lot of guys. And it was a good team, though. It was a full team around those guys, and we all enjoyed it.
Hal, we hear about, you know, Sidney Crosby as the leader now, but as a 20-year-old, you know, and you as a veteran walking into that room, what kind of personality or player was he then?
It was funny. My first practice, I was like, "Wow, this is a tough. You guys are getting after it. We're working hard." And Crosby wasn't on the ice. He had an injury or something. And they all, you know, I looked at Ryan Whitney and I remember saying, "Wow, that was a tough practice." He goes, "Well, wait till Sid gets out there." And sure enough, Crosby got on the ice and we turned it up a level. You know, he demanded a lot. He practiced all out and made you work for everything. And if you know, one time he was going wide on me and I kind of let him go because I didn't want to, you know, jump on top of the boards. And he gave it to me hard. He right back in the line. He's like, "What was that all about?" And I was like, "He said it's practice. Relax." But he turned it up a notch, and I think that's really where his leadership came from is getting it done when it mattered. And for him, that was every time he jumped on the ice.
How did that differ from previous experiences in your career with Toronto and Boston?
It's funny because you look back at all the great leaders that I played with you know, it's a different feel. With each guy, Matt Sundin was, you know, a guy who'd walk into a room and everyone would know he was there. He was a huge presence. He was a gentleman off the ice, on the ice. He worked hard. He didn't back off. I remember him hitting several players with one-timers working on the power play in practice. And I'm like, "Can you just not shoot it that hard?" And he's like, no, I'm going to shoot it that hard. That's the way it's going to be. You know, playing with Ray Bourque was my first captain, and he had a similar mentality. He was going to go hard, and not to say he wasn't the first one off the ice. You know, practice was over. He was up at 37 years old. He was jumping off the ice, and he was done with it. But when he went on the ice, he went hard. So I think that's kind of the leadership that, from my experience, those are the guys that get it done, and those are the guys that guys follow.
So you get to Pittsburgh in 08, you go to the Cup Final that year, you come up short against the Detroit Red Wings. You know, we often hear, You know, you learn from losing. That's a cliche. Sometimes that's been used. Did you learn from losing that year with Pittsburgh?
I feel like anyone who's won anything says that we learned when we lost. But if you just keep losing, I don't know if you ever learn anything. It's only after you win something. I remember after 08, my father said, "Wow, that was pretty awesome. I don't know if you'll ever get there again. I don't know if you ever get that opportunity again." And I remember that feeling I had. It was like a gut punch. In reality, yeah, you know, you don't know if you'll ever get to that point again. But I think in the end, it drives you. And when you get to that point again, it makes it that much more special. And you're willing to give up that much more not to have that gut punch again. So, you learn from it, but I think you have to keep your nose to the grindstone to get back to where you can learn that lesson. Not that you just lose and then all of a sudden, I learned and everything's great. Now I learned my lesson. We're going to win. It's a lot of hard work that comes after that. And I think even when you win, you have that. Do it again. It can be addictive, and that's the thing that is fun about winning, is that you always want more of it, and when you lose and you learn a lesson from it, and you go on, either way you're looking at it, you're driving to be the best.
Well, it didn't come easy the following season. You know, there was the coaching change, Terry, into Bielsma in February of 09. Was it just tough to find that mojo again? I mean, how was that going through it and scuffling a little bit?
Yeah, it was miserable. We had the expectations of being winners, and we all thought we were winners, but our record didn't show it. Michelle Therrien was a hard-nosed drive you. We practiced hard. We played hard. He expected that. And I think at some point we were just kind of beat down, and it was heavy on us. And when Bielsma took over, it was a lot lighter atmosphere, a lot more of enjoy the moment. Don't get me wrong. We worked just as hard, if not harder. But I think we found that enjoyment again, and you know, that was the difference. We kind of, we came at it and came out of that little spiral that we were in, and then we were hot and having fun doing it, and we just kind of rode it all the way through and ended up winning in seven.
You listen to Reach Deep. We're joined by Stanley Cup champion from 2009 with the Pittsburgh Penguins, Hal Gill. And Hal, you talk about, you know, feeling heavy at times. There's a winning tradition in Pittsburgh now, but back then in 09, it had been 15 plus years since the Stanley Cup had gone to Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh loves their sports. Did you feel the pressure at that point, having those young stars on that team and having that tradition of winning with Mario? Did the team feel that?
It's interesting. I think granted, I was in Boston and Toronto before that, where expectations are high, whether you're good or not. It's really dictated by the fan base. They expect wins. Pittsburgh, I remember one game, it was early on when I was there, and we really got our asses handed to us. We got beat up pretty good. And I remember leaving the rink, and there was a line of people there, always there, and they, you know, I told you, we had been winning, and they're always cheering for us. Well, we came out, and after that beating we took, they were behind us. They were good with us. They said, "Hey, it'll come. Don't worry about it." I was looking up at all these fans as I'm walking out of the arena going, what are you guys talking about? You're supposed to be throwing stuff at me. I was expecting beer cans to be tossed at me. But, they rally around effort and want a constant effort. It's a blue-collar, hard-nosed, play hard, and we'll see what we can get kind of atmosphere in Pittsburgh. And it was, for me, that was a lot of fun to play for. I'm not sure what fans expect to get out of booing and trashing their players. I really responded a lot better to the to the positive reinforcement and saying, okay, we're going to win for these guys as opposed to despising them. So, yeah, that whole expectations that they had was driven off just wins, but playing the right way, playing the way, you know, they looked at Penguin hockey and Pittsburgh in general. They wanted to go out and work hard and try to get wins that way.
Was there a moment in that 09 year where you felt like you were on course to get back to the final?
I think kind of going off of what I said, Bylsma kind of was living the moment. It was, hey, this is where we are. This is what we have a chance to do. We have a chance to win tonight. And I feel like we were so focused on the moment, focused on, Bylsma, I think he had 25 games left in the season, and he put in three different forechecks, three different set breakouts. He had a whole new system going, and I hadn't had that many systems in playing in for 10 years at that point. I hadn't seen that many different set breakouts and forechecks, and so it was really about focusing on what we were going to do. I think he changed the forecheck in the middle of the game sometimes just to keep us on our toes and keep us engaged. So it wasn't really a one thing that stood out, but more of a culmination of a lot of things and a lot of being in the moment.
Well, you know, some hockey fans assume that, it's easy winning the cup with two superstars on your team, but, you know, a team game takes a lot more than that. What has to go right for a team to come together beyond, you know, having that high-end skill from your experience? What else had to go right?
Yeah, it's funny because I look at all the heroes that stepped up, and Max Talbot, of course, stands out as getting two goals in Game 7 against the Red Wings. There's a lot of guys that stood out, but the real thing is when you have a guy like Crosby, when you have a guy like Malkin, I feel like we knew that if we could just stay in games and play the right way, everyone did their job, no one had to do anything special. We'd hope that a couple guys would step up and have big games here or there, but we weren't planning on it. We didn't look at each other like, hey, you got to step up or you got to step up, because you knew Crosby or Malkin was going to be the guy. They're going to get it done. So it was really, our game was tailored around, okay, this team has a good power play. Let's shut down. Let's have a good penalty kill game here. Let's have a solid game there, and we'll have a chance to win. And, you know, this team is good on the forecheck. Let's make sure we're getting pucks out, and we'll have a chance to win. And so it really became about everyone around, all the role players, so to speak, just going out and doing their job. And I think when you go out there and do your job without those big expectations of I have to have a huge game, you can kind of ride those out and have big games without even really trying. You just kind of play your game and good things happen. But I don't know if it's that easy to do when you don't have that one or two goals in your back pocket from Malkin and Crosby.
Yeah, and they were both incredible. They both over 100 points in the season, over 30 points each in the playoff. But beyond that, you know, nobody else on the team was over 50 points in the year. Looking back on it, it looks like there was just buy-in beyond those guys. Like, yeah, they're gonna on most nights carry the mail offensively, and if we do our thing, we're gonna have success.
Yep. 100%, and that's for me. I don't have to try to get my points. Not that I ever did, but, I was really focused, get the puck out. I was playing with Rob Scuderi, and we weren't making the pretty plays. We just want to make our first pass, get it out of the zone, try to match up and shut down their best line. If we could shut down their best line, then there's no way there's another team that's going to shut down Crosby and Malkin. That was our thought. So, stick to your job, do your job, and those guys will do the rest.
And the moment, game seven, Nick Lidstrom gets that great chance. I think you were on the ice, and Marc-Andre Fleury makes the crazy save. I mean, what's going through your mind when you see Lidstrom having that opportunity?
I remember just, I got out there and it wasn't much time, and I was thinking, if I can, block a shot and hopefully, even if it hits me in the face, hopefully the time will tick away, but I remember I blocked the shot. It kind of went off to my side. I left a bad rebound, and that was created the scrum, and it went out and just kind of sat there, and time stood still, and Lidstrom stepped into it, and, that's exactly what you're thinking is, of course, it's on Lidstrom's stick, the worst guy you'd want to have the puck, and what a great save from Flower, and, I kind of blacked out after that. That was – I've seen the footage. It's been kind of cool, and we have a group chat that we've been chatting with each other and doing these Zoom calls and everything and talking to the 09 team and reliving some of those moments. But for the most part, I blacked out after that and for most of the celebration as well, to be honest. But it was some good times.
Hal, I know Pittsburgh's a very loyal sports town. Do you ever have to pay for a drink when you're in Pittsburgh?
No, you know what? I always pay for a drink out there. Like, everyone wants to drink with me, but no, they're good people. I have some, we only get, with Nashville, I only get one trip there a year. I wish I had more, but it's, it's nice going and seeing some of the same faces, and not too much has changed. It's getting a little bigger now, Pittsburgh, but same people, same good people out there. So it's nice to be back with those guys.
Hal Gill, our guest here on Reach Deep. It's always fun going down this road and reliving some of these Stanley Cup stories. And we appreciate you making the time. But before we let you go, Hal, we do know the 24-team format. You're covering the Predators these days. Nashville, Arizona. What do you think?
Yeah, it's kind of, I was looking through it as soon as they announced it, you start looking at, previous matchups and okay. I remember that game, how they matched up and what the game was like, usually Arizona is a tight checking game, but they changed, they came out hot in the beginning of the season and then they kind of were tailing off. The Preds weren't so hot.
Did we lose Hal?
A whole new season. I mean, I don't think you can look at the past and gauge anything on it. So I know the players are going to be – I can put myself in their shoes. I'm going, I have no idea what to expect out of my own body, about the other teammates, about how this is all going to go. There's a lot of questions that – are going to be answered, I hope, a lot until the puck drops, and which is going to be pretty exciting for everyone, I think.
Yeah, and it's getting exciting. We're even hearing from Elliot Friedman. Players informed today Phase 3 training camp won't start before July 10th, but still a while yet, but hopefully players are getting rid of the bags of chips and getting back into playing shape, right?
Yeah, well, that's I'd be in a panic. It takes me a while to get back up to speed. Not that I ever had speed, but I'm sure there's guys that are going, all right, now we have a goal, which is, I think it's probably the best thing for everyone is to have a goal. You put a date on it and say, okay, I got to be ready by then, which is huge for these guys to be able to gear up to a certain date and not just burn yourself out too early or kind of, like you said, keep the feed bag on and just banging down the bags of chips on the couch.
Hal, we've really appreciated the time today. We look forward to hopefully having some hockey, and best of luck moving forward. Stay safe.
All right. Thanks. You guys too. Cheers.